Anyway, so we were up to bet. So if you remember in Halacha Aleph, we had said that a king, that you can't use the, as part of the honor of the king, you can't use his avadim, his shvachot, his, you can't ride on his horse, you can't sit on his throne. But now we have the specific issur, which we'd already touched on in the last halacha, which was aval ishto shel melech, eina nivelet lacher leolam. Afil am melech, eina nose almenuto, ogrushato shel melech acher. So the wife of a king, not only can she not be married to a non-king, but she can't be married to another king, right? To another king. Now, we saw already that this is a machloket in the Mishnah on Sanhedrin itself, where the Tanakamo had said, Amelach ein nosin almenuto, and Rehuda omer nose amelach almenuto shel melech. Right? The Rehuda had said that a king can marry the almana, and the Tanakamo had said that they can't, and the Nafkamina, remember we saw, or the Nafkamina, what it partially depended on was, had a divuah vishag, right, was the reason that she was, right, what was being asked there, was it to marry her, was it as a, right, the Rambam assumed that Avishag wasn't a wife, based on that sheet in the Gemara, and therefore she was a shivcha, and therefore it was part of category one of shivcha, and any of the things that belong to a king besides for his wife, and that's why Avishag, that's why Adoniyahu couldn't have her as his as maidservant, but Shlomo could. What? For what? What? I was like, oh, sure. No, a non, what do you mean? A non-Jewish wife's king is not Jewish. What is that? There's no marriage anyways. Right? And if there was conversion, it'd be conversion, which would change everything. Right, so as all the Mefarshim note here, right, this is simply the Rambam paskening like the Tanakama, unlike Rabbi Yehuda. And it also came down to the Mirav and Meirav and Michal issues there. Okay, we'd seen most of this in the previous halacha. Yeah, we'd seen most of this in the previous halacha. That's what I was saying. We would have done it very quickly. Okay. Next halacha, halacha gimel. Other expressions of this. Va'asur lirot oto kishuhu arum. You can't see a king when he's naked. V'lo kishu mistaper, where he's getting a haircut. Or when he's in the bathhouse, and not when he is drying himself off. Ve'eno choletz, and he can't do chalitza. Why can't he do chalitza? Because what is entailed in chalitza? Spitting. Exactly. Shene emar v'yarka b'fanav v'zeo b'zeyon v'afilu ratza. Ain shomer lo, and even if he wants to, he can't. Why? So this is the major principle that I mentioned from the sugya in kiddushin. That even though all the other, it's kiddushin lamed bet, even though all the other people to whom we owe kavod, they can waive their kavod. The king can't. Shamelach shemachal kvado ain kvado machul v'hovel v'eno chaleitz. And now you get a very important conceptual point, which is that since he can't do chalitza, ain miyabim, because they are linked. They can't do Yibam. They can't do Yibam. They can't do Chalotz. V'chein, kevin shi'ef shel Yabin is Joe. And since no one can do Yibam to his wife, because they can't marry, kachin cholzin law. Ela teishev lo'olam b'zikata. Right? She's stuck. Right? They're both the wife of the king and the sister-in-law of the king would be stuck. Which is admittedly very unfair, but that's how it is. Now, it is worth just noting the conceptual point about Yibam and Chalitza. So this is something that appears throughout Masechet Yevamot. It's Kol Sheino, right, that Kol Sheino L'Yibam and L'Chalitzin, Kol Sheino L'Chalitzin and L'Yibam. And the exact parameters of it are one of the major issues that come up through the Sugya. But what's the logic? If you want, what's the logic between them? What's the logic for that? If you can't do Yibum, you can't do Chalitza, you can't do Chalitza, you can't do Yibum. What's the logic for it? Now, I will point out that this is the Rambam. Not everyone agrees with this full analysis. Everyone agrees they can't do Yibum or Chalitza, but not everyone agrees that every time Kol Shein Aroyal Yibum in Aroyal Chalitza, Kinesh Aroyal Chalitza in Aroyal Yibum. What is the svara behind the Rambam's very strong formulation? And then I'll tell you another formulation. What's the svara? Being at a very simple level, it's simply that Yibum and Chalitza are two sides of the same coin. Right? Meaning, that's clear at some level what they're saying. Why that's true is an interesting question. When I learned Yivamos with Rosenzweig, this was like one of the central ideas throughout the year, is that this is somewhat hashkafic, somewhat understanding this halachic issue, but is that Yibum, was Yibum created by the Torah, the institution of Yibum? No. As we know from Yehuda, and the Ramban there on the Pasuk by Yehuda and Tamar says that the reason Yehuda was going to do Yibum with Tamar, his sons did Yibum with Tamar, is because this is like an ancient institution. Right? He didn't do Yibum. There's an opinion that this is the daughter of his brother. But Yibum, now the Ramban adds like a mystical view that this was based on the way people thought of resurrection of transmigration of souls and the like. But the idea that Yibum existed pre-Torah is pretty old. So then what is the Chiddush of the Torah? So the Rambam says this in a lot of places, that the Torah didn't invent a lot of the halachot by Ishud. So for example, marriage existed before the Torah. And the Rambam tells you at the beginning of Hilchot Ishud that before the Torah, what would a marriage look like? If two people wanted to live together, boom, and they wanted to get divorced, they left. What did the Torah add? That if you want to get married, you have to do it in front of Adam, etc. So what the Torah added was not, there are certain institutions that existed. What the Torah did was to tell you how to do it, B'kedusha. Now, what it added here was Chalitza. Why? So Rosenzweig would like to argue that Yibum existed. But if it was coerced, then the people who were entering into it didn't necessarily want to be in that marriage. But once you give an out, once you give a, then it sanctifies the Yibum. Why? Because if they do Yibum, it's by choice. But therefore, they really are two sides of the same coin, meaning it's the escape valve, but it's not just one is like the marriage, one is the divorce. Is it the possibility of divorce? It's not divorce, but the possibility of not doing Yibum is what gives it sanctity. But that means they really are two sides of the same coin in both directions. And now in the Gemara, it's not clear that it goes in both directions. I'm not going to go through all Masechet Yevamot right now. Right? But this tight connection would point direction. And obviously, again, full understanding that requires all Masechet Yevamot. Not doing that right now. Rashi, it's worth noting, and the Ketzin Mishnah quotes it here, says no. The fact that he tended to Chalitza wouldn't Asur Yibum, because it's the other ways which is more obvious in the Gemara. The one which is clear in the Gemara is Kol She'en Ola Yibum in Ola Chalitza. It's not clear that Kol She'en Ola Chalitza in Ola Yibum. Right? And there's a logic to that also, right? Which is you can't do Yibum, which is the Iker, because one way of looking at Chalitza the way I just said, another way of looking at it is that Yibum is the Iker mitzvah, and Chalitza if you don't want to do it. But if that's the case, then it makes sense. Kol She'en Ola Yibum in Ola Chalitza. But Kol She'en Ola Chalitza, so what? So maybe you are Ola Yibum. So for example, like the Ramban has a suffix that may, and we're going to do this in Shir soon. I don't want to ruin it for you. I'll hold it. On what happens with a left-footed Yavam. But we'll get to it in Shir. Okay, we're going to get to it. What? Yes, it does. It very much matters. Anyways, but we'll come to it in Shir, so I don't want to ruin it for you. So Rashi, though, is a different Svara, which is not predicated on the notion of the Kol She'en Ola Chalitza in Ola Yibum, which again is a much bigger Kiddush than Kol She'en Ola Yibum in Ola Chalitza. And that is that Yibum is also Bizayon. Why is Yibum Bizayon? Why is it Bizayon for a king to do Yibum? Very good. He says, because what are you doing Yibum for? For the honor of your brother. But a king, for him to get married only for the honor of his brother? He says that. That to be Zion, for his entire marriage to be defined as I'm there for my brother, I'm doing this for the honor of my brother, that's not the honor of the king. Now, admittedly, I think we should just own the fact that this is not fair. But on the other hand, that is the reality of, meaning, no woman who went into this relationship and married into either the king or into the royal family wasn't aware that there's a cost with being a member of the, you know, being a queen. You know, okay. No, according to the Rambam, Amanuto can't remarry. No, she can't. She can never get rid. She's stuck. Kaha. I'm not saying it's fair.
Perhaps he wasn't a member of...
I understand. There are exceptional cases that you get where he became king later. I get it.
Also, what if he became a king?
I understand you can come up with the cases. I get it. But Big Adol, I'm not saying it's fair. I'm just saying... I understand. I said, again, that doesn't change the clout. Are there unfair exceptions? Yes, of course there are unfair exceptions. No, the whole thing is I understand. I'm not going through this again. Lehalacha, she can't get married.
If the king ceased to be a king before he died.
I don't know. He ceased to be a king. He's stripped of kingship. It's not a president. He's a king.
Well, but
Melchizedek David can't be, right? He has a Kedusha.
I don't know, a disgraced king.
Wouldn't help.
Outside Eretz Yisrael.
We're not talking about that. We're talking about the real Malachim here.
Well, yeah.
We're talking about real Malachim. I don't know what would happen. You guys met a non-Jewish king. I don't know. Who said a president is a king?
Don't we generally?
No, we don't. This is a king who's Nimshach. Remember in Kedushin HaGuf, we talked about this Lamdus. This isn't just a leader. It's a king who is Nimshach. It's Kedushin HaGuf. The president doesn't. No. Not for all purposes. There's no reason to believe that in this, the halacha would be the same. I don't think it would be. I don't see any reason to believe that it would be. So certain things may be. This, I don't think so. Now, just a few points on this. What is the source for the notion that you can't see him while he's getting his hair cut and things like that? The Yerushalmi says, Melech biyofyo techazena inecha, from Yishayo, that the king should be seen in his glory. Rabinovich points out that what that means is that the Yerushalmi clearly believes that part of the honor of the king also is his physical, the physical grandeur, his physical gravitas. Right? It's not just his station. Okay, I already mentioned the Machloket Rashi and Rambam of Chalitza and Yibum. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Now, Rabinovich argues that the chalitza is more than just he can't be mochel, but that the chachamim are there to determine what counts as a zilzal, right? It doesn't seem to be, right? What you see highlighted from this is there seems to be objective standards, or at least Beit Din is allowed to set objective standards for his kavod. That does seem to be clear. Yeah, okay, I think that's good. We'll stop here so I can go take a halacha. Okay, shkach.